Let's go to St. Paul. Let's go to St. Paul. I believe Governor Dayton's office, several luminaries speaking, stadium proposal day, fan. Here we are.
City Council and the Minnesota Legislature. Much work, therefore, remains to be done. Nevertheless, today's agreement is a remarkable accomplishment achieved through many, many hours of very hard work by some very talented and dedicated people. They are too many all to mention, but let me single out Senator Julie Rosen and Representative Maury Lanning, the Senate and House authors. They have been just fantastic to work with, and their dedication to this and perseverance through all of this has been remarkable, as well as DFL Caucus Representative Senator Terry Bonoff and Representative Terry Morrow. Also, this has got to be a bipartisan project and have a bipartisan support, so the leadership has also been extremely important. Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Rybak and City Council President Barb Johnson, without their taking the lead and being willing to take the arrows of misfortune that accompany that, this project could not have moved forward. So I thank them and salute them. And the Minnesota Vikings, Ziggy Wilf, Mark Wilf, and Lester Bagley, thank you very much for, and I'll elaborate a little further later, but Ted Mondale, the chair of the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission, done a phenomenal job honchoing this through. Mr. Craig Skime, his analyst extraordinaire, and Kathleen Lamb, the counsel, and Tina Smith, my terrific chief of staff. They and the many others who worked closely with them were all essential to reaching this agreement. Now the real work begins, persuading a majority of the Minneapolis City Council and the Minnesota Legislature to approve this agreement. I ask the Council to act expeditiously and the Legislature to hold up or down votes in both the House and the Senate during this session. I ask them to consider carefully what is at stake for Minneapolis and for all of Minnesota. Estimates are that building this stadium will employ as many as 8,000 construction workers and an additional 5,000 people among the project's suppliers. A couple thousand permanent jobs will be created by its ongoing operations. Our state will have a premier stadium to host the Minnesota Vikings, college and high school teams, rock concerts, monster truck mashes, and other major events that will generate even more economic activity and showcase both Minneapolis and Minnesota to people all over the world. And all of this would be accomplished without using a single general fund tax dollar. Let me repeat, not a single tax dollar from the state's general fund would be used for this project. Finally, I'd like to thank again Ziggy and Mark Wilf for their major commitment to this stadium and to Minnesota. The Minnesota Vikings will play 12 games per year here. I'm counting the two home field games you get for winning the league division and then going into the hosting the playoffs. The other 353 days, this publicly owned stadium will be operated by a public authority to best serve the needs, the activities, and the enjoyment of the people of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Wilf and Mr. Wilf, for your patience, for your perseverance, and for your...
That's Governor Mark Dayton. Had some technical problems. Let's go back now. I think the governor's done. One of the Wilfs should be speaking now. Good morning, Ziggy.
I'm Minnesota State Representative Maury Lanning.
Morning,
I recall
Maury.
My first conversation with representatives of the Vikings back almost 8 years ago. And over the last 8 years, there have been lots of discussions about what can we do to bring a new facility to the state of Minnesota. And over that period of time, there have been a lot of things that have been suggested, lots of streets that have been gone down, and yet it's been a very difficult thing to try and negotiate. And so we're very, very pleased here today to announce the successful completion of the negotiations between the team, the city of Minneapolis, and the representatives of the state. And I want to thank, first of all, the governor for his leadership with regard to this effort. We wouldn't be here today without the strong leadership that he has shown in helping us move towards a resolution of this issue. And we also want to thank the team, the owners, for their patience and perseverance. I know it's been very, very frustrating to them with all the fits and starts we've had along the way, but we are here today because they have been patient and they have persevered, as have we. And I also want to thank and commend Mayor Ryback and his leadership as mayor to try and bring forward a proposal that would involve the city of Minneapolis to help make this deal happen. And I also want to thank Ted Mondale and Craig Skeim and the Metropolitan Sports Facilities Commission for their very diligent and hard work trying to assemble all of the details that are needed to make this deal come together. And finally, I want to thank my colleague, Senator Rosen, my colleagues in the House, Representative Morrow, and the others who are here today who have been very much involved with our work group over recent months. We have been working hard trying to put together a proposal that would have bipartisan support. We have said from day one that this is not going to happen unless we have good, solid bipartisan support to do a stadium facility in Minnesota. And I also want to say, first of all, the time has come for Minnesota to make a decision. Minnesota needs to decide whether or not we, in fact, do want to keep this team in Minnesota. I do. I'm committed to that. We want to do everything we can to keep them here. And we believe that we have a plan now that stands the best chance of our being successful in getting legislative approval for this new facility to be built. Thank you.
Stadium proposal day.
Well, good morning. And now I it's
State
time
Capitol.
To talk stadium. And you all have been very, very patient with us. And this is a very good day, and I'm very excited to be here with all these folks in the back that have worked extremely hard. And a special thanks again to everybody that has been a part of this effort, especially to the governor. He has just been stellar and great to work with on this. And of course, Representative Maury Lanning and the working group. And again, the Vikings have been just tremendous to work with, and they are committed to Minnesota. And I cannot believe what they've been through, because they don't work in this political realm that we live in. So it's probably been very frustrating to them, but today is the official handoff. And so not only should we give a great accolades to everybody that has been working on this bill, the mayor, the city, Ted Mondale, everybody involved, Kathleen Lamb, it's time now for us to for them to hand off this bill and for us to move forward. You know, there's many metaphors out there, but it's time for our work to begin. And I'm ready, and everybody's ready. The business community is ready. The labor is ready. Legislators keep asking me, when are you going to have a bill up? And it's time. So I just like to make a couple comments about why Minnesota is so special and what makes Minnesota special. Because of the commitment we've made to the things that we love, the Guthrie, the Ordway, the Children's Museum, our 10,000 lakes, to our workforce, on and on. And the Vikings are a very important, integral part of that. So right now, we need to make a commitment. We have a plan in place, a very good plan. That was my promise to my colleagues in the Senate, that we will put the very best plan on the table, and that's what we have today, a very good plan that has hundreds and hundreds of hours of work behind the scenes to get this forward, and a commitment. And we will work on it in a very bipartisan way. It's in the best interest of the state to move this bill forward, and I look forward to the vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry Morrow, Representative St. Peter. I look forward to working in a bipartisan fashion with my colleagues, Senator Rosen and Representative Lanning, as we work to put together a bill based on the proposal that you'll see today. I also would like to thank our friends in both labor and the business community that you'll hear from as we work to build this priority. And I especially look forward to fulfilling the hopes of the millions of Minnesotans who watch and listen to Vikings games on Sundays. I believe, as Senator Rosen and Representative Lanning said, that the Vikings are an integral part of the quality of life of the state of Minnesota. I know when I lived outside of Minnesota, I knew three things about the state. I knew about 10,000 lakes, I knew about Prairie Home Companion, and I knew about the Minnesota Vikings. And I am committed to working in a bipartisan fashion with my colleagues in the House and the Senate to make sure we now craft a bill that reflects our state's priorities and still keeps the Minnesota Vikings playing their home games here. Thank you.
Thank you. With all the drama about this announcement, I'd like to talk about the seemingly boring issue of sales taxes, because it explains how you can build a stadium without any general fund dollars, property tax dollars, and without imposing a new tax. It's done because the sales taxes in the city of Minneapolis have been a very, very good deal for the state of Minnesota. Every year, the city sends about $400 million over to the state from sales taxes collected in the city. In addition, there are sales taxes imposed by the state in the city of Minneapolis that help fund facilities that have statewide implications. The Minneapolis Convention Center is one of them. The Metrodome has been one as well. The deal that we have structured today really takes that idea and really extends it into the future and says the following things. The deal says that the sales taxes in the city of Minneapolis will be continued into the future, into 2045. And we'll take those dollars and put them together into a pool. And that pool will be shared with the resources that come from the state of Minnesota. And in doing all of that, we can do several things. First and most important, the state will take off the top the dollars that they collect in Minneapolis that will help fund the Viking Stadium. In addition, there will be companion legislation that will be about giving the city more control over the rest of the sales taxes that the city has. The city will then use those sales taxes for economic development purposes. We will choose to use those for Target Center to get it off our tax rolls and to fix it up, and to continue to fund the convention center. By doing all three of those investments in hospitality in Minneapolis, the sales tax and this effort will make an incredible new investment, not only in the city, but probably more important for the people at the Capitol, continue to have Minneapolis be the cash cow for the state that it has been. That's the nut of this deal. That's not a simple deal to have negotiated. It's a very complex set of arrangements, but it does allow us to get back to that core point, that we were given a very difficult challenge by the legislature and the governor, an important one, but it said that in this period of time, we didn't want to impose new taxes, use general fund dollars, raise property taxes, and we wanted to build a stadium. We did that also because we had a remarkable team of people together. Every team needs a leader. The governor has been an incredible leader on all of this. He has been tough when he's needed to be. He has been impatient when he's needed to be. He's been understanding when he's needed to be. But he has also been unwilling to sit by and watch the Vikings leave the state or to have another facility atrophy. We need to make sure that we do great things. We have also had fantastic leadership from the legislative leaders you've just heard from and from leaders up and down the pike. We have had great leadership from Council President Barb Johnson and others on our city council, and every single politician is now going to have to make a tough decision. And the decision is really about the question of what are we going to be as a state? This is a great state that is only a great state because we have made big investments in making sure that this is a great place to live. We shouldn't do mediocrity in the state of Minnesota, but we are also a practical state. And we're a state that requires us, and our voters should require us, to do things that are in the self-interest of the voters, of the public, and are in the practical value system of Minnesotans. Every one of those values is represented in this great agreement that I believe will do great things. I have never had the privilege in 10 years as mayor to vote for anything close to allowing 7,000 people to get good employment on a construction job. It will be a tremendous privilege to take a vote that puts 7,000 Minnesotans to work in construction. It will be a tremendous privilege to be able to step forward on something that will create 11,000 jobs. The core of the unemployment challenge in Minnesota is really about the construction industry and the trades. And the key to what we're doing today is we're putting people to work. We're also creating a place where people can come together. And in this great state that has really been about people coming together, I think we have not only come together as leaders, but are also creating a place where people can come together for another generation to come. Thank you.
Thank you for all being here today. Approximately 70 years ago, when we became owners of the Minnesota Vikings, I remember the first question that was asked to us, and it was, what are your plans about Minnesota Vikings? Are you going to move them? And instantly, knowing the storied franchise of this in this great state, Minnesota Vikings, quickly we said, we're going to make sure that this team stays here. This is an exciting day because the dream of keeping the Minnesota Vikings here for generations to come is close at hand. It's an exciting day for the state of Minnesota, the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota Vikings, and our fans. And since we became owners, everybody who we meet, fans throughout the state and throughout the country, always asked us, what's going on with the stadium? When are you going to get the stadium done? And again, this is an exciting moment because here we are at the cusp of getting this done. This agreement between the Vikings and our state and local partners is the culmination of many months of hard work by both Governor Dayton and his staff, Chair Ted Mondale, Stadium Bill author Senator Julie Rosen, Representative Maury Landing, and Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback, and City Council President Barbara Johnson. We are grateful to you all. Over the last months, weeks, negotiations and discussions have been going back and forth day and night, and we're excited to be here at this moment after this hard work. We look forward to bringing this project forward to the legislature and to the public for consideration. This vision will offer opportunities, as said before, for major events, including the NCAA Final Fours, a Super Bowl, a Major League Soccer, concerts, and other community events. So we're very excited as owners to be able to be on the cusp of resolving the stadium issue in Minnesota. And today is a big step forward in making this project a reality. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here today.
Team President Mark Wells.
Today's agreement represents real compromise and is a significant step forward in achieving a long-term stadium solution in Minnesota. This location is the most cost-efficient stadium alternative. We have an opportunity to leverage existing infrastructure, including highways, the Hiawatha Light Rail Line, and the future Central Corridor. This multi-purpose facility will draw more than 1 million visitors annually into this market and will host high school and college athletics and community events and celebrations. We also want Vikings fans to know that we are committed to creating a fantastic first-class game day experience, one that Viking fans and Minnesotans can be very, very proud of. With a dynamic plaza on the west side of the stadium, a Hall of Fame, and other amenities NFL fans and sports fans and event fans throughout the country enjoy. Again, thank you to Governor Dayton, Ted Mondale, and their team for their leadership, Senator Rosen, Representative Lanning, Mayor Ryback, City Council President Barbara Johnson, to get us to this significant milestone. We look forward to working with all of them, with Governor Dayton, Minneapolis leaders, as well as the state's business and labor leaders who are here to support resolving this issue. This is a project that will put a lot of people back to work in a hard-hit construction industry, will serve as a tremendous asset for the entire state, and will secure the long-term future of the Vikings in Minnesota. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Elliot Jaffe from U.S. Bank, and I'm also the chair of the Minneapolis Downtown Council. And I know I speak for the business community, not just in the city of Minneapolis, but across the state, when I express my appreciation to the governor, to the mayor, the city council members who've been involved in this, the other legislative leaders, and so many others who've been involved in getting us to this important milestone. The business community certainly appreciates how important the NFL franchise is and the venue as it's proposed and all the other opportunities it will provide to our citizens to participate in wonderful activities, how important it is to the quality of life and the economic vitality of our state. So know that the business community fully endorses the project, and we're here to support you to bring it to the conclusion and through the next steps. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Harry Melander, and I'm with the Minnesota Building and Construction Trades Council. Governor, Chair Mondale, the Wolf family, the Minnesota Viking community, Mayor Rybeck, and our legislative leaders from both parties, thank you. Thanks for continuing to move forward a plan that will build our state a new home for the Minnesota Vikings and hundreds of community events annually. Minnesotans are waiting. Families in the construction industry are waiting. For more time than we like to remember, the Minnesota Vikings and its ownership and its community partners have been heading towards the goal line, a community project that will house Minnesota's teams, provide a facility that meets our community needs, and one that will create over 2.5 million work hours for needy construction workers throughout the state of Minnesota. This project will reflect our strong skill sets and will bring to the industry, and also will reflect the community workforce that we live in. Please, no Hail Mary. Please provide us a ground game that will provide a win for people of Minnesota, for the workforce that will build it, and for a community and a team that desperately needs it.
We just introduce DFL leader, Senator Tom Bach. Glad to have you here. You want to say anything?
Somebody will ask me a question.
All right. Ted?
Hi, good morning. Ted Mondale with the Sports Facilities Commission.
Morning.
I want to just take a second to thank my staff and consultants at the Sports Facilities Commission for helping us get this done. We've enjoyed the camaraderie and the hard work of the bill authors, of the business leadership, labor leadership, of the Vikings and city. And we feel like we have put together a deal that's in the best interests of the state, the best interests of the city, and certainly fits the criteria that the governor laid out for a real people stadium. So I'd like to just give you a couple of facts that may help you on your story, and then we'll throw it open to question and answer. Number one is the stadium location, which is back from the existing Metrodome site. As you can see it there, and in the term sheet, there's a better drawing there for you. The idea is to push this stadium back to the back of the parking lot where it exists, to start building it the first couple of years while the team is playing, then have 1 year is the goal now, to only have 1 year at TCF Bank Stadium. As you see, the stadium has a large public plaza, which we think will be very good for the numerous civic events and public events that would happen there. The stadium itself is modeled after Lucas Oil Field, which just had a very successful Super Bowl experience. The Sports Facilities Commission and the Vikings spent a couple of years and a lot of money putting this program together, and it is truly a people stadium that will accommodate, you know, soccer, basketball, football, baseball, all the civic events that now are hosted by the Metrodome. The facility will be owned by a new sports authority, which will have, as envisioned, a 5-member board, 3 appointed by the state, 2 by the city of Minneapolis. The financing for this at this point is that the state of Minnesota would provide construction financing of a net of $398 million. The city would be $150 million, and the team's contribution would be $427 million. So you have a project worth $975 million. $828 of that is the building, and $147 is the plaza and surrounding area. The total funding of this project, if you count the operations and look at it over a 30-year life cycle cost, is 50.6% of the funding is coming from private sources, the team, and 49.4% is coming from public, both a combination of the state and the city, with the city having a fairly large operational commitment over the years. The The building will be run by the public authority, and the team will run all the marketing and other arrangements as it relates to football. There's a provision there to hopefully bring in a Major League Soccer franchise as well. And for you, Senator Bach, there's no need to, this can be done without affecting or bumping up to the charter commission at the city of Minneapolis. So those are the basics of the bill. There's a, I think, a 20-page term sheet that's available to all of you. And I guess we're open to questions at this time.
Are the votes there in the legislature and the city council? And if they're not, what's it going to take to get there?
Okay, we're done.
Well, obviously, we've heard from a number of our colleagues, both in favor and those who are yet to be convinced. And it's hard for people to really tell us whether or not they would support it until they know what the details are. And that's what they're going to hear now. They've got the framework today. We're going to immediately be working to fill in the details that need to be filled in any bill. We've had, obviously, a lot of time to do many different drafts of language that potentially can be in the bill. But now that we have a framework, we have to fit that language to meet the terms of this negotiated agreement. And that's what we'll be doing. And we're going to work hard to get our colleagues to support this. And as we've said all along, this will not happen unless it has bipartisan support.
One specific on that, Representative Lanning, there's a bill that would sunset the Minneapolis hospitality taxes and therefore take away the funding source for the project. Is that bill, as a result of this agreement, does that go away or is that still a threat to this deal?
Well, obviously, that would need to go away if we're going to be able to move forward. And, well, that was an idea that was put out there. What a lot of people have sort of been under the impression that Minneapolis could continue to collect these taxes indefinitely throughout the future. And legislators now were saying, wait a minute, the city of Minneapolis can't be assured that that money is always going to be available for them for whatever they want or need. And so that was kind of the point of that bill. And obviously that bill cannot go anywhere. Otherwise, this deal doesn't go anywhere.
Representative Lanning or Senator Rosen, have either of you talked to Republican leadership and have they put any demands on the table saying we want this, we don't want that? And have they been briefed on this plan since you guys reached the agreement?
That's a very good question. And actually, we had a working group meeting last night, and Senator St. John was here, and he's been very supportive. Of course, legislators need to know, number one, their number one question is, how are we going to fund it? What's the state's obligation? Where's the location? And what's the local share commitment and the private commitment from the Vikings? So now we have a very good plan on the table. And as I said before, that's what we promised them, the best possible plan with all these players and parts and a commitment from the Vikings. And we have that going forward. So now it's time for, in a bipartisan way, probably should get Senator Bach up here also to answer some of these questions about the bipartisan agreement that we need to have to move this bill forward. And the governor has been very integral on that. I'm sure his commitment to this going forward is there. We need to have the business community start to make these calls and labor to make calls and move in a succinct joint manner.
But have leaders signed on to this, or have they given you any parameters to follow up on Tom's question?
The parameters that I've received from leadership is no general fund money. No increase in no sales tax increase, no tax increase. And we've been very clear on that. There's otherwise, I think the green light has been for put the very best possible bill on the table that can garner votes. And that's what we have.
Mayor Ryback, you said that the Target Center portion of this is now part of a companion legislation. Doesn't that seriously jeopardize that passing? And on top of that, this authorizes the city to use this money for capital expenditures. A lot of people argue that the law passed in 2009 already lets the city do that. So why do you even need it?
First up, on the second point, you can't, there is no money there unless there's part of this deal. So no matter what the law says, it would be impossible without the financial arrangement that we have here. But let me go back to the macro points. The first question was the question about support of the City Council. First off, Council President Johnson, who's been my strong partner on this, is covering me in a swearing-in of the fire chief and at a hearing. She would be here today. She and I have been in close contact with the City Council and working very closely with them. There has not been a solid proposal yet, and there has not been a solid vote. Any reporting of people taking a position one way or the other really is before they have all the facts. So we'll continue to work with the council members. I'll get there. I know, I've been asking questions, so I'm walking there and I'll get there. So first and foremost, we will continue to work on that. We believe we have a very compelling case to make to not only the people on our council, but to the people of Minneapolis, that this this arrangement allows us to extend sales taxes that were in jeopardy of being removed from the city. Had that happened, we would have no funding for the convention center or Target Center, leaving both of those obligations to the property taxpayers. This solves that problem. It also makes a $1 billion investment in the city and puts a lot of folks to work. We have a compelling case, and we're going to make it, and I'm cautiously optimistic about doing that. So that
support at the legislature, whereas if it were tied to a Vikings bill more securely in the same bill, it would pass. You know, it would likely pass if the bill passed. So here you have it in a separate bill. It could mean a Target Center doesn't end up being part of this deal in the end.
The outcome we need is to be able to go to the council and have the ability to move forward on solving the Target Center issue. So if both things pass the legislature, they will come to the City Council, and we will be able to look at those together. If we don't have both of those together, we won't be able to pass that. It's purely and simply that, and that's always been the case. But we've left it to the legislative leaders to do what they know best, which is how to get this through the legislature, and I think they've come up with a really good arrangement. I think as we're really looking at it, the Target Center issue is really more about sales taxes and having local control. The real issue here is to allow a local unit of government to have more control over the sales taxes collected in their city. And if we choose to use those for a Target Center, the legislation would give us the latitude to do that. So the action over here at the Capitol is really not about Target Center. It's about providing local control of existing taxes.
Do you believe that the city has to take the lead, send a signal to the folks over here that you've got the votes in the council? I mean, which is the cart and which is the horse?
The chicken and the egg have to come at the same time in this case. We need a legislature to support this. We need a city to do that. We're all working hard on both cases on that. The actual technical part of the legislation, because this is a state law, you guys are the experts on this or not, but because it's a state law, the city can't take action until it's actually passed at the legislature. That being said, we all need to show each other that we have support, and that's what we're doing right now. Well, let me be clear about that, because it's not a way to write it. It's simply the way the dollars are collected. It's the reality of the situation. Here's what it is. The state has control over sales tax dollars that come in the city, complete control. If we had control, we would have done a lot of other things that we haven't been able to do. So the state has control, and the state's going to keep control over a portion of it that will be used for the Viking Stadium. There, what it actually means is the state's going to keep control over that part of the funding. What they're going to do is to allow us to have control of the rest of it, and then we'll choose to use that for Target Center and the Convention Center.
So the farmers know the $10 million capital. How do you get around that?
We're not using that for the Viking Stadium. The state is using its dollars to do the Viking Stadium.
The charter amendment specifically addresses sales taxes, which can only be authorized by the state in this scenario. So how can you make the argument that, well, these are state taxes, so that was never meant to address state money?
Well, I'm not the lawyer in the room, and there are a lot of smart people who are a lot smarter than me on that. But I can.
Let us know, because she hasn't responded.
But the one thing I can tell you is that if I had any control over the sales tax dollars in Minneapolis, I would have used them 10 years ago to help put more cops on the street. And I think it's pretty clear that I don't have control over those. And so that's what we're doing here.
Is the public or is the team responsible for the cost overruns? Who's responsible for cost overruns?
On the, for building the stadium, there'll be a cooperative process where the team and the authority will put the final design and all the basic requirements in place. We envision right now that the state, the authority, would be the builder, although we're in discussions with the team in case they want to do so. So that is a detail. The builder will clearly be responsible for cost overruns. I think both either entity that would build it would seek a fixed bid builder who, as part of the public bidding process, would in getting the bid, would take the cost overruns. On the operations, it will be the authority that will be in responsible for cost overruns. We have inflators in the operation costs, in the capital costs, and some help from the city as well as for cost overruns. And again, you know, the way to do this in modern day is not to have the public actually run the building. We would seek to contract with a third-party operator that is in the business of running facilities, much like AEG is at the Target Center, who, as part of their contract, would take the cost overruns should they come forward. But we think that the authority is well-funded. We think that the escalators are in there, and we think we will be able to get contractors to be able to cover those. The Vikings would keep all the football-related revenue. The way this has been structured is that we want the public to operate the facility and the team, which is very experienced at marketing, to operate the team and the marketing. So the revenue related to football, the naming, the marketing, the suites, all of that revenue goes to the Vikings. All of the non-Vikings revenue, or maybe non-soccer revenue, throughout the year, a U2 concert, whatever, would go to the authority. So that's pretty much the split there.
Regarding the electronic pull tab, so whoever can answer this, why did you select that source, and why are you confident that that is going to be a steady source of income?
Well, it meets the criteria that legislative leaders have stated, which is no general fund tax dollars, and it's a expanded part of an existing tax on charitable gaming where the beneficiaries are the state of Minnesota and charities all over the state of Minnesota. So it provides a benefit for the charities in terms of additional revenue as well as the state. We have an estimate from Commissioner Fran's revenue that $72 million is the current projection. Now, that, you know, is obviously not locked in because we don't have the operating experience. And in terms of selling the bonds, if this agreement is approved by the legislature and the council, we'll have to see what kind of assurance that we have to provide, if any, beyond that in order to sell the bonds. But and the other advantage of this is, as far as we know so far, there won't be any lawsuits questioning our ability to expand this form of charitable gaming, and so we don't have a period of months or even years where something's tied up in court and not available then to let the project go forward. Well, I'm still governor, and I'll be working on this project till we get it done. It needs to be done this session. I don't want to speculate beyond that because, I mean, again, I was asked for both Senator Senjum and Speaker Zellers to assure that we would have an up or down vote on each floor, and then we'll know where we stand, and people can make that decision for themselves what's in the best interest of the state of Minnesota.
Governor, it looks like those proposals up the price from the state level to $500 million.
What was it? I'm sorry, what did I answer?
Mr. Wilk.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay. Yeah. Let me just take this one and then yeah?
It appears, and the numbers are, you know, lining up, that we've jumped about $100 million in the state share. How do we get that?
because with the legislative constraints on either Ramsey County or the city of Minneapolis not being able to generate additional sales tax revenues, their share went from $350 million in the initial outline for Ramsey County and approximately that for Minneapolis to the $150 million that the city's putting in. So there was nowhere else to go but the state, and you know, it's the best deal we can negotiate. I'm not entirely pleased with it, and others are not either. The legislators and the city council have to decide this, as Senator Rosen said, the best deal available and possible is good enough to proceed and put several thousand Minnesotans back to work and keep the Vikings here and build a showcase site for Minneapolis and for the state. And I hope that they'll recognize that, especially that these are not going to be paid off with general fund dollars. They're going to be paid off with a revenue stream that comes from, as I propose, expanded charitable gaming, that that extra $98 million is not going to come out of the pockets of the general tax fund payers of Minnesota. So, Mr. Wolf,
the question I was asked about where we would go if not. We've been patient since we became owners. We've been supportive of the Gophers years ago and also with the Twins ballpark. We know how important sports and the Vikings are to the state and to our fans, and we're optimistic that everyone realizes how important it is and it will get done this session.
Time for one more question.
No, can you explain the team's portion of the price going to be paid for? Is it all up front? How is it going to be paid for in terms of the 50%?
Well, as was stated, our commitment is $427 million, and it's being funded privately.
Is all the money in the front, or how is that going to be?
As I understand it, will be in that form.
Yes, the $427 million will be up front and in conjunction with the state and city, and in addition, there will be the annual operating payments by us as well, which escalate.
Can you detail where that will come from, the 427?
Again, it's going to be from private sources, from the team.
One more. Governor, you referred to this as a people's theater, despite obvious signs of public opposition that have been shown or demonstrated over the last few years. Last week, Ralph Nader called this a reverse Robin Hood, and said that politicians are kind of addicted like crack cocaine addicts to stadium proposals. Senator Lanning says this is worked out after hundreds of hours of behind closed doors meetings. How do you square all of that with your progressive values of transparency, openness, public participation? We have 100.
Do you want to just take over the microphone and make a speech, or do you want me to respond to a question?
We've had 25 minutes of listening to everybody talk about what great leaders you all are. I'd like you to talk about the state of
Well, I'm doing this project for the people of Minnesota, for the jobs it's going to provide. I'm not here to defend the economics of professional sports in America. To me, they're probably indefensible by my value system, but they are what they are, and they're not going to change because I think otherwise. So, you know, the people of Minnesota, through their elected representatives, have to decide, do we want to be part of that enterprise of professional football or not? And if the legislature votes it down or the city council votes it down, then that's the decision that the elected representatives have made. And you know, they'll have to assess for themselves whether the overall benefits of putting as many as 8,000 construction workers back on the job and putting some 5,000 people into service suppliers and providers, and all the other benefits that people here have enumerated add up to something that's worthwhile for the people of Minnesota. I believe it does. And I wouldn't support it if I didn't. But, you know, other people can have different opinions, certainly. Well, tell the up to 13,000 Minnesotans who are now out of work, who would have a job starting very soon if this project's approved this session, that they should just wait another year because other people are worried about saving their jobs. I think that would be a very hard explanation to give to the people of Minnesota. But, again, people have to decide for themselves.
Several of them said they haven't heard from you. Are you going to be leaning on them personally, working at all?
they will hear from me shortly, and I look forward to inviting them to the residence and put Mingo and Itasca on them if there's any problem. Anything else? Okay. One last one.
First of all, I look forward to that invitation. It sounds kind of fun. Go ahead, Aaron.
We were originally talking about $150 million. Where are we at now with as far as the amount of money going to the Target Center, both, I guess, renovations?
Well, the state of Minnesota will give the city of Minneapolis, if this legislation passes, the authority to make those decisions locally, and we will make those locally at the right time. My recommendation is that's what it would be. Yes. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, Eric, we would have the, if this passes, we would have the capacity to do what we had proposed before, which was a $135 million renovation of the facility and paying off the bonds, which would allow us to, or paying off the debt, which would allow us to remove it from the property tax rolls. So that would lead to about a 2% property tax decrease in the city of Minneapolis.
Thank you.